I believe I said last time needed no introduction, but I'm going to give him one because I'd like to introduce him. And he's my friend and he's my teacher. And he's a man that seems to me to speak directly from source and know the connection and be aware. And why is this the best day ever? Because Carlos said so. So without further ado, Carlos Wayne Anderson.
Well, we had no idea that there was going to be a bike event today, so we actually were right at, we were in Manhattan at 10, and actually just got to the church a short while ago. I had to remember while we were in traffic that I shared something with you once from the stage a few months ago. And it was an idea, I had heard this on the radio as we were traveling home from service one day. Timothy always turns on a station that has people speaking. And this guy was talking about how we all want to pretend that we have no active participation in our challenges and that we're the victim of so many things every day. So the example he gave is one I had to remember when we were kind of crawling and stopping and crawling and stopping. What that guy said on the radio that day was, we pretend that we have nothing to do with what's going on around us. He said, for example, we have a tendency when we're in a position that I was in this morning of being upset because our mind is telling us, I'm stuck in traffic. This guy said, you're not stuck in traffic, you are traffic. So I was thinking, oh my God, there are 100 cars in front of us, but if I wasn't one of them, there would be 99. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't the victim of traffic. I was actively participating in being traffic. So I had to keep that going to keep my mind centered. The scripture, as you know, we're doing a series on parables. Myself and Brent and Sean, or Reverend Sean and Reverend Brent, we're doing a series on the parables. So I called in which parable. I had to call Brent and say, which ones have already been done? And he got back to me and found out that there were a couple that weren't done. So I decided to bring this parable, which is the parable of the leavening, where Jesus speaks about a woman who had her flour, she had her water, she had her mix to make bread. But flour and water by itself has no active or activating ingredient. So as some of us who are bakers know, you have to put yeast in there to get that flour and that water to rise. And I thought about yeast as we were just given this beautiful daily word. I thought about yeast or leavening ingredient as being faith. Faith is what activates and causes whatever we put it into to rise. And in this particular parable, Jesus says, she just put a little bit of yeast in there and then she mixed up her dough. But that little bit of yeast was an active ingredient that affected the entire loaf. It caused it all to rise. And so I thought about what I tend to say about faith, is that we're never operating outside of faith. We're always operating inside of faith. And it just depends upon what that active ingredient we're putting in it is, what that yeast is. So I say that we always have faith either in the negative outcome or in the positive outcome. Always are we operating in one of these two things. Whenever a challenge presents itself to us, it's an opportunity for us to focus ourselves and decide, what kind of yeast am I going to put into this loaf? Because whatever yeast I put into it is going to multiply it and cause it to rise. And so we either are putting in faith in terms of our challenges or in terms of our just experience of living life on planet Earth. We are always activating our experience by putting in faith in a negative outcome or faith in a positive outcome. Once more, we are always, always operating inside of our faith. but it is our faith that wavers from a positive outcome to a negative outcome. And whichever we put in there will go a long way. It will infiltrate every nook and cranny of our lives. I realize if I have faith in a negative outcome about what appears to be happening in my body temple, it's not long after worrying about what's going on inside that I could easily just catch fire. And then I begin to wonder about my finances, and I begin to wonder about my relationships. I began to wonder about my health of mind sometime, because a little bit of active ingredient called fear goes a long way. It spreads through my mind, and it spreads through my life experience. The other is true about faith and a positive outcome. Sometimes we think that if we just spend a little bit of time in meditation, a little bit of time connecting with the source of our good that we have called God, that it might not have any positive effect. Oh, I didn't have time to meditate for 20 minutes, so why should I just get 2 minutes in? What will 2 or 3 minutes possibly do? Well, what they will do is they will activate the entire loaf. And a little bit goes a long way, which is why our daily word included that scripture which says, faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. And you can say to a mountain, be you removed, and that mountain of doubt and fear will be removed. Also, if we have faith in a negative outcome, what that faith will do is it will keep the mountain of our challenge right in place. Everything we are experiencing in our surround first takes place inside our deepest minds and our deepest hearts. And all of our life experience are given rise out of our subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is what we might call God. That is just the identity of I am that I am. I am pure conscious awareness of being. What the conscious mind does with that is it personifies it. And so pure conscious awareness of being, which is another way of saying I am that I am, is followed by what the conscious mind says we are. And so we can become pure conscious awareness of being lost, or pure conscious awareness of being a victim. And whatever we say we are is what we are for all intents and purposes. There's a scripture that says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man, a person, a woman, a child, whatever we think in our hearts, so we are. And so even though we are pure spirit, pure conscious awareness of being, we get to make the decision about how that is personified, how it is personalized as who we present. And so putting this little bit of yeast is very important. And it's important for us to understand when we're involved in the process to do a lot of checking inside as we respond to our life experiences and to ask ourselves, am I putting in an active ingredient that is going to rise and multiply my fear or my love? The deepest part of fear-based thinking and fear-based yeast, of course, we have called catastrophizing. I don't know about you, but when I get started catastrophizing, it is like fire set to dry grass. I, in my own mind, can burn down more forests than have ever been burned down in the history of the United States of America. I can wipe out so many forests just sitting in my room catastrophizing. If I don't catch it and get a grip on it, it just will go on and on and on. And it will convince me that I am pure conscious awareness of being upset, sad, and fearful. I love the song that you presented for us, my brother. It's such a simple yet such a completely powerful affirmation of who we really are. And what I find many times in services and spiritual centers is that there's a lot of stirring up the remembrance of who we really are. But that's something that we have to hold on to, and we have to water it. We have to keep activating it. At the church that I attend in Boston, Unity in the City in Brookline, Massachusetts, there's something, I think you guys are blessed that the church is too big to have prayer requests at the end of your service. Because my experience is of most churches that have prayer requests at the end of their services is that no matter how much faith in a positive outcome is stirred up by the music, is stirred up by the meditation, is stirred up by the daily word, is stirred up by the principles, is stirred up by the message that the minister brings to that service. Sometime at the end of the service, when they go for prayer requests, all these hands go up, and people start sharing their prayer requests with an over-dramatized delivery. And the people listening listen with an over-dramatized reaction. We have just spent an hour and 15 minutes speaking about the fact that there is no power but God, that there is, and God is good, and all things work together for good. And then someone will stand up and go, a friend of mine was just diagnosed with blah, blah, blah. She's only 22. Her life, and people start going, oh. And all of a sudden, that whole spirit that has been stirred up about how God is good and with God all things are possible, all that energy just starts imploding on itself. And I look around the room, and suddenly everyone is in fear about the testimony they just heard. One thing we know, if you've been alive for any longer than 3 years on planet Earth, one thing you know already is that life is a mix. You know that every day children are being born, and every day someone is dying. You know that every day people are getting jobs, and every day people are getting fired. Every day people are starting up businesses, and every day people's businesses are folding. Every day people are falling in love, and every day people are getting divorced. Life is a mix. And if we react to the one piece of the mix as though it's a tragedy, what we are announcing is that we are fear-based, that we have faith in a negative outcome rather than in a positive outcome. Once more, you are always, always, always putting yeast in your flour and water. It depends. What kind of yeast are you putting in there? What are you activating? And once more, like I had to remember this morning that I was not stuck in traffic, but I am traffic. All of us have to understand that we are not just witnesses to our life experiences. We are the active participants in them, and that they are given rise out of our deepest thoughts in which we hold our deepest faith. Once more, life is a mix. Why get freaked out every time someone gets a divorce? They're going to keep doing it. Why get freaked out when a health challenge presents itself? They will always present themselves. Why get freaked out when someone's contract, their sole contract, has completed itself and they take their last breath and go home to rest in light that is only light? Because every day that will be occurring. And so I was thinking about Unity of New York last week when I was in Boston, thinking, I am so glad they don't have prayer requests. Because if you bring your dramatic response to what is going on to one of the prayer chaplains after service, then the rest of us don't have to be a part of it. And the prayer chaplain is trained to deal with it. So if you're over-dramatizing the fact that you lost $20 this week and that was your gas money, then they are going to know how to pull that yeast out and place in it the yeast of faith in a positive outcome that all things do. Once upon a time, I thought my divorce was the most tragic thing that could ever happen to me. I thought my divorce was a mistake, a cosmic mistake, that God had erred somehow, that I was supposed to walk down that aisle, and I was supposed to walk out there with my wife, and we were supposed to live happily ever after. I thought I deserved that, and I thought she deserved it too. And so a few years later, when we realized we just could not live together anymore, we were not who we thought we were. I was one of those guys that fell in love when I was 15, and so was she. And then I lived and moved to another part of the United States, and we only saw each other 6 times every year for 3 years. Well, we saw each other 6 times for 10 days every year. And during that 10 days, we were so busy making love and going to Broadway shows and going to the restaurants in New York City, we never just sat on the talk on the couch and asked one another, "So who are you anyway?" Like, who are you? I mean, you're definitely a great lover. You're an awesome guy, but who are you? We never asked that question. 3 years later, we were going, "Oh my God, I said I do to somebody I don't know." You know, you meet somebody at 15, "I'm gonna marry that girl." And then all of a sudden at 22, you do marry that girl, but you've never talked. You went to restaurants, you went to Broadway shows, you went to the disco, and you made love. And of course we know when you're dating, you always put your best foot forward. Always. Always. And so, I never got to know who she was, other than seeing her best foot forward. And she never got to know who I was, other than the guy who put his best foot forward. So I thought when we were getting a divorce that, oh my God, my life is over. It wasn't until months later, after I got over my grief, after I got over the shock, after I got over being mad at God and mad at life, that my marriage didn't last, suddenly, all of a sudden, and without a warning, I felt something happen to me inside regarding someone else that I had never really felt with my ex-wife. It was a feeling more than a statement of, "I'll be with you forever." This was a knowing. I ain't going nowhere other than wherever this person leads me. It ended up being the love of my life. It ended up being something that poets write about and that I hadn't even dreamed was possible. And so my thought, my catastrophizing, my upset about something that did not work out, wasn't supposed to work out, because something was coming. I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience happen with a job, but I've had that experience happen with several pieces of employment where I didn't leave because I wanted to. The business folded, the grant ran out and didn't get renewed, or the person didn't like my work style and they fired me. And I walked out of that place going, "Oh my God, how could this tragedy happen?" Only to have the universe open up another door for me that was more excellent and more wonderful. And I realized this is the way life works. As Louise Hay, she used to begin her AIDS and her HIV positive circles by singing a song that says, "Doors closing, doors opening. Doors are closing, I am opening. I am safe. It's only change. I am safe. It's only change." When we learn to trust that all things work together for good, we can get our praise on while we're in the middle of the valley of the so-called shadow of death. We don't have to wait until we come out of a challenge or a trial to get our craze on. Just as I said, the ultimate level of fear is catastrophizing. The ultimate level of love is praise. Emotion is energy in motion. I know I've told you this before. Sometimes when we are catastrophizing, nobody has to tell us to emote. You know, theater directors, sometime I would be doing my part on stage, and they would go, "Mr. Anderson, I need you to emote more." And they meant get more into it. Well, when I'm catastrophizing, nobody has to tell me to emote. I'm emoting all over the place. But sometimes when blessings are all around me, I'm standing in the middle of blessings, and I go, "I'm happy today. Things are going good in my life." I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, "Well, emote." You know, give it as much emotional impact that you gave your fear-based yeast. Because if we're not feeling anything, nothing's happening. We can do our affirmations all day long. Literally, we can do them as a mantra all day long. We can go away for a weekend retreat where all weekend long, all we do is speak our affirmations all day long, affirming that God is good and everywhere present, affirming that God is a part of me and therefore I am good, affirming our power to make contact with God through the avenue of prayer. I can affirm this. If I'm not feeling it, there's nothing happening. Because that feeling of your faith is the active ingredient. Many people wonder, "Well, I wonder why nothing's really going on when I do my prayers." It's because you're not feeling anything. I know sometimes when I was being trained to be indoctrinated as a Hanmi, a Buddhist monk, there were times where I was doing my mantras and Om Sodagama Laji Bibala Sambhava Dhamma Dada Bhosari Soha. And I'm repeating it and repeating it, and I don't have nearly the emotion in it that I had on the way to my Hanmi Buddhist meditation practice when my car got a flat tire. I was emoting. I was feeling my upset. I was feeling my disappointment. I was feeling my anger. I was feeling my sadness. And then I get in there doing a mantra that talks about my complete connection with the power of the universe, and I'm not feeling it. I'm just, Om Sodagama Laji. So what I had to do was to learn to make sure that I felt something before I ended my praying time, that I felt something before I ended my meditation time. Because once more, when I start feeling it, it's activated, and just like putting yeast into water and flour, it's going to swell and it's going to grow. You know that I always start my days with, "It's the best day ever, and I will not change my mind." You know also that in my household, we yell out to each other all throughout the day, "Hey, is it awesome being awesome?" You know that sometimes when a trial or a challenge presents itself to me, I grab myself by going, "So this is heaven?" "Yep." "Sweet." It's fun to put a harness on your mind and not let it run all over the place. A Course in Miracles says, "Carlos," because A Course in Miracles was written just for me. Just for me. So it says, "Carlos, your only reason that you do not experience joy and happiness consistently is that you do not consistently inspire joy and happiness in your brothers and sisters." That's what that song was about. If you always are about inspiring joy and happiness in others, you will be full of it yourself. That little bit goes a long way. Another thing A Course in Miracles says in another spot, and here it calls me by my nickname. It says, Carly, you know what your biggest problem is, dude? And I go, what? And it says, you are far too tolerant of mind wandering. You are far too tolerant of mind wandering. You let your mind run all over the place. And where does it run most often? Into the race consciousness field of fear. You live and move and have your being in God, in truth. But for all intents and purposes, most of the time, you live and move and have your being in the race consciousness of separation, belief, and the fear it brings with it. I told some people recently at a function where I was speaking that at one point, you know, I learned bits and pieces of languages. Like if someone ever asked me, do you know Swahili? I would go, no, I don't know Swahili, but I know a number of things in Swahili. They are all positive affirmations. Do you know Spanish? No, I don't know the whole language, but I know some affirmations and prayers in Spanish. I can do the same with Russian. I can do that with Italian. I can do that with a number of languages. What I discovered is that I don't think at 67 years old that I'm ever going to really become one of those guys that's going to become fluent in a bunch of languages. You know, I told people, Timothy and I were really working a few years ago every day at learning Spanish. We're going to this year become fluent in Spanish. And one time I was in a conversation with one of my Spanish-speaking sisters, and I got to a point where I was confused. And when I got confused, she butted in and she said, this is what you say when you don't know what to say. And she said, ah, perdona, pero no hablo mucho español. Pero estoy en el proceso de aprender. I'm sorry, I don't speak much Spanish, but I'm in the process of learning. Once she taught Timothy and I to say, I'm sorry, I don't speak much Spanish, but I am in the process of learning, we stopped the process of learning. Who needs to keep learning? She gave us our out. Just tell people you're learning. They will assume you're learning, and everything will be okay. And I looked and I went, I do that in a number of places in my life. All I have to do is just give me a little out. Teach me how to say, oh, I'm learning. And then I can stop studying. Because all I really wanted to find out was how to say that. So I can quit. Well, I want to give you, because the song so clearly brought to my mind, one of the things that I can say in Spanish. It is also to give you another thing that I say every day. These are things that I do to program my mind. You're always programming your mind constantly. And a lot of times, as I said, it's with race consciousness, fear-based yeast. And so I think of all these things to think and say all throughout the day to keep me on the right track and to make sure that the yeast I'm putting in my flour and water is going to make rise something positive and creative in my life. So this is one of the things I start out my day with each and every day, that you said to me in music. Hoy, escojo ver Dios en todas las cosas y ser Dios en toda manera a lo mejor de mi habilidad. Esta es mi función. Esta es mi oportunidad sagrada. Esta es la razón por la cual he venido. Esta es la razón por la cual estoy aquí. I'll do it once more. Hoy escojo ver Dios en todas las cosas y ser Dios en toda manera a lo mejor de mi habilidad. Esta es mi función. Esta es mi oportunidad sagrada. Esta es la razón por la cual he venido. Esta es la razón por la cual estoy aquí. Today, I choose to see God in all things and to be God in all ways to the best of my ability. This is my function. This is my holy opportunity. This is the reason I have come. This is the reason I am here. Today I choose to see God in all things and to be God in all ways to the best of my ability. This is my function. This is my holy opportunity. This is the reason I have come. This is the reason I am here. Hoy, escojo ver a Dios en todas las cosas y ser Dios en toda manera a lo mejor de mi habilidad. Esta es mi función. Esta es mi oportunidad sagrada. Esta es la razón por la cual he venido. Esta es la razón por la cual estoy aquí. When I remember that every morning, that I'm going to choose to see God in all things, do you know what the universe is going to do? It's going to present things and people that it is difficult for me to see God in. Because I have made a commitment to choose to see God. So it's going to show me all this stuff that doesn't look like God. And all these people in line at the grocery store and cutting me off on the road saying, I'm not God, right? And I'm going to, boy, escojo ver Dios. Todas las cosas, in all things. And then I'm going to remind myself that it is also my choice to be God in all ways to the best of my ability. I want to remind myself that this is my function. I want to remind myself that this is my holy opportunity. I want to remind myself this is the reason I have come. It's the reason I was born. It's the reason I was born. It's the reason I live. It's the reason I was incarnated. It's the reason my father's seed entered my mother's egg and gave rise to me. It's my function. It's my holy opportunity. It's the reason I have come. And it's the reason I am here. Peace!
When I am in the
it may be more difficult when there are challenges and there are trials and tribulations. Yet to the best of my ability, I choose to see God in all the circumstances of my life. I choose to raise myself with praise. What an powerful, powerful activating ingredient. Praise. Thanksgiving. My life has already proven that greater is this power within me than anything I'll ever encounter in the world, because I've had so many encounters in the world, so many experiences that would seem to rattle me, shake me, sometimes even knock me off my feet. But as I look back, I see that I've always gotten back up and had the strength and the courage and the power to continue on with my journey of unfoldment into deeper and sweeter realizations of who I am and whose I am. I am able always to keep putting one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot, marching on even through the valley of the shadow of this thing called death. I am so grateful. An attitude of gratitude can take me wherever I wish to go. An attitude of gratitude can make the blind see. Can return the seeming dead to life. I didn't read about this. I lived it. So today I choose to remember that I am the living proof that God can do anything but fail. I am the living proof that God is a God of resurrection. Because I've been dead more times than I can count. And I have always risen from the dead. I choose to be God in all ways to the best of my ability. I choose to praise and to extend the love of God that has been extended to me to all who enter my field. There is but one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. It is God. It is good. I choose to feel this. thank you, God, for everything.